Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for My Lowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What's this going to be?
Moneyline. With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
And away we go on a Friday afternoon solo mission. Donnie Wrightside right here, the best hour of your day. You know what it is. It's Moneyline. This is how we get down. Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Exciting times here. Now let me set the stage for what took place today in the life of Donnie Wrightside. Alarm goes off 3:30 a.m. this morning. In the car by 5:30 a.m. Hour and a half drive up north to head to the studio to get there an hour ahead of time for an 8 a.m. show. Arrived just before 7 o'clock. Got ready, prepared, set up my desk. And away we went, Ben Stevens and myself, on a great edition of The Early Line. It's always nice to be with Ben in person, having fun, shooting it, on, especially on days like this where so much in the sports atmosphere is going on. Did a 3-hour show, packed up my stuff, got in the car, took me 2 hours to get home, and here I am on the radio talking to you guys, ready to break it all down for this afternoon. Full Major League Baseball slate today, which does include a game that's currently taking place right now. The Kansas City Royals and the Detroit Tigers. That game currently right now, bottom of the fourth inning. Two runners on, one out, with the Kansas City Royals with a 1-0 lead. But the big story of the day today, of course, is the NFL draft and what happened in round number one. Now, going over the draft itself, which I do want to do, it's fun, it's awesome stuff. The first couple picks, let's just say the first five last night, right? Number one pick, Caleb Williams, supposed to go to Chicago. We knew that was taking place. Jaden Daniels going to Washington, we knew that was taking place. Drake May 3rd over to the Patriots, we thought that was taking place as well. So 1, 2, 3, which I had a bet on there, Williams, Daniels, and May, all to be selected in that order, was under a 2-1 price. Fantastic. Got that about a week ago. Cash in that ticket. Marvin Harrison Jr., the ultra-talented wide receiver from Ohio State, goes to the Arizona Cardinals at number 4. Love that pick there. You have your quarterback in place. Start to add some weapons. He's the best wide receiver in the draft. Don't let anybody tell you Malik Nabers is better than Marvin Harrison Jr. It's not. It's the way it was supposed to happen. Harrison 4, perfect. Number 5th overall pick. Feels like that's exactly what was supposed to happen as well. Joe Alt at a Notre Dame offensive tackle. Why do we like that pick? You know Harbaugh wants to build inside out big boys on the front line. Offensive line, pushing guys around, strong running game, great play action game, protect your asset in Justin Herbert. Love that pick for Joe Alt. Then the draft starts getting interesting here. We're not going to go over pick by pick, but the top 10 certainly had a lot of intrigue as it was supposed to. We actually thought we might get some fireworks in 1 through 5, some trades, some surprises at the quarterback position. We didn't get that. It was pretty much paint by numbers. Malik Nabers, who is a sensational wide receiver out of LSU, went to the Giants. Bad move, Giants. You're the first loser of the day in round number one. And you might say to yourself, Donnie, how could the Giants be a loser when you just told us they got a great offensive talent in Malik Nabers? Well, if you remember a couple years ago, one of the best prospects in the draft was a running back. His name was Saquon Barkley. Come on now, Giants. You can't take a running back number two. He was really good. Sometimes he was injured, but when he was on the field, he performed. And the Giants absolutely stunk for the most part that he was a Giant. Why? Because your quarterback situation absolutely stinks. So you could have drafted, let's just say again, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake Maye off the board. A lot of people were very high on J.J. McCarthy, which we'll get to. A lot of people were very high on Michael Penix Jr., which we'll get to. A lot of people were very high on Bo Nix. Also, we'll get to that as well. But Malik Nabers is a very good player, just for the wrong team here. Daniel Jones in his 15 max-out touchdown passes per season in a 17-game schedule, that's not going to get it done. When you stink, like the Giants do, you stink because you don't have a quarterback. The Giants still don't have a quarterback, so therefore, they're going to stink again in 2024. They had a chance to rectify that. They didn't do it. Good luck, Malik Nabers. J.C. Latham from Alabama heads off to the Titans. Good pick there. Here's where it got interesting. Tweeted this morning, because I was actually up last night watching the first part of the draft. I believe the last name I heard was Brock Bowers before I dozed off to sleep last night. So I got the full top 10 experience, which included Adam Schefter coming on the TV screen and breaking news that looks like they're going to go quarterback here in Atlanta. I said, what? Atlanta's going quarterback? In what world? The tweet I fired off this, it's almost like, is Al Davis. Remember Al Davis's draft picks? Insane, off the wall. We used to laugh out loud at those picks. And also, remember the scouts over the years that would leak information they said to Al Davis? Because they knew he would like a player and specifically tell Al Davis the player was slower than what his times actually were, so he would have to avoid those players. That's what we're talking about. The bozo picks used to be Al Davis and the Raiders in the draft. Now it looks like it's in Atlanta. What are you doing, Atlanta? What are you doing? You spend $100 million in guaranteed money to get Kirk Cousins, who's 36 years old. You paid him that money not because you think it's going to be good for a year or two. You paid him because you think you have at least 3 to 4 years, at least, as I said, 3 to 4 years of very good quarterback play. And the excitement that you could have had built around the Atlanta Falcons. Drake London at wide receiver. Pitts at tight end. An unbelievably talented Bijan Robinson in the backfield. Those are stepping stones to win a division, and you got the quarterback now, which you didn't have last year. Sorry, Taylor Heinicke. Sorry, Desmond Ridder. Those guys certainly were not quarterbacks of the future. Did you get your quarterback of the future last night? Maybe you did. But in the NFL, time is of the essence here. According to the clock on players, you are drafting Michael Penix Jr., and when the season starts, he's already going to be 24. Now, if you tell me, oh, Donnie, they must have something up their sleeve. You know, they know better than what they're doing than you do. Well, answer me this. When Fondo, the GM, came out to the press, and they're basically asking him again, the same questions I would. What the hell are you guys doing over there? And we drafted Michael Penix. But the reasoning behind it was, boy, I hope it's a good problem to have. I'm surmising here. I don't have the quote in front of me. But it was basically, it'll be a very good thing if in 4 years that Michael Penix Jr. hasn't gotten on the football field, because it means Kirk Cousins was giving us really good play on the field. Think of how stupid that comment is. How dumb is that comment? You have a team that's constructed right now that should be able to challenge for the NFC South. Before the draft even took place, obviously. You now enter the draft with a top 10 pick. You could have gone anywhere. Top defensive players on the board. Latu was out there for UCLA. Dallas Turner for Alabama was out there. I don't know. Byron Murphy II out of Texas. He was out there as well. impact starters day one. Impact starters day number one. You get the drift where I'm going here? Or how about you said to yourself, we're at the eighth overall position. Roma Dunze's out there, who ended up going to the Chicago Bears. Could have picked him. Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. Donnie, why would you do that? What, you haven't seen any double tight end sets work? Take a look at New England. They ever have any double tight end sets that work? You could have gotten a day one impact player unless you pick a quarterback, which you did in Michael Penix Jr. Nonsense. Donnie Wrightside, solo mission radio on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. We will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hold up, let him cook. That's what the people say when DRS gets the mic, right? Isn't that what they say? We're cooking on the draft last night. As we talked about Michael Penix Jr. heading to Atlanta. Bozo decision. By the Atlanta Falcons. Bozo decision. Could have added an unbelievably talented playmaker on either offense or defense. And you go quarterback who you hope, says your GM, you don't see him play for 4 to 5 years. Awesome stuff down there, Atlanta. That's the way you do it. Now, the Chicago Bears. I understand they had the number one pick. And it was Caleb Williams. But they weren't the number one pick because they tanked this year. They were the number one overall pick because they made a great decision last year with a trade with the Carolina Panthers, who are a terrible organization. Therefore, they got Caleb Williams, and away they go. But also, they had their own pick in the top 10. Ninth overall, Roma Dunze out of Washington. You now have weapons all over the field. All over the field for Caleb Williams. And for NFL teams, the changing of the guard, it used to be like, team stinks, we'll build around and we'll get all young players and we'll see if they work with the quarterback. That's not the way to do it anymore. It's really not. You want to go out there and get absolutely superstar players built around your young quarterback so they make sound decisions on the field. We always talk about back in the day, David Carr, excuse me, Derek's brother, when he was drafted to the Houston Texans, comes in. Never had a shot to have a pro career. Went number one overall, made a lot of money, good for him. But they crushed him in the pocket repeatedly because he went to a franchise that wasn't ready to surround him with the talent he needed, particularly in offensive line. Those scenarios have changed a lot lately. Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's got weapons out the wazoo. That's what you do. You take care of your own quarterbacks here. That's the goal. Give them every chance to succeed. The Chicago Bears are doing the same thing with Caleb Williams. They could have easily looked at that ninth overall pick of Roma Dunze instead of taking him. Hey, we're going to trade back, stockpile picks, and we'll build on defense. We'll get a couple linemen, maybe a late wide receiver. They go, no. We are going to get you top flight talent to go along with your top flight talent and see how it works out. Loved what the Chicago Bears did. They are on a rocket ship right now. Because if Caleb Williams is 75% of the player that I think he can be, why not the Bears win 8 or 9 games next year and challenge for the playoffs? That should happen. That honestly should happen next year. No surprises. And also, the bar has been raised, people. Last year, the Houston Texans, the bar is raised for young quarterbacks to come in and absolutely dominate. And that's what we're expecting out of Caleb Williams. There's always a learning curve. Yes, we understand that for young quarterbacks, particularly rookies. But there is a glass ceiling that you can absolutely bust through. And Stroud did that last year. Big season coming for Caleb Williams. Big fun season coming for the Chicago Bears. Loved what they did. Drafted their franchise quarterback. Got him a dominant wideout right out of the gate to go already with two dominant wideouts who are veteran players on that team. You got a running back, a tight end, and three legitimate wide receivers for Caleb Williams, the Heisman Trophy winner, former Heisman Trophy winner. Love what I saw there. Fast riser in the draft that we heard most of the time was J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. He goes to the Vikings, which we heard repeatedly for months and months and months and months and months. That was the Vikings guy to get, and they got him. Don't mind the decision. I don't know how good J.J. McCarthy is actually going to be, but the one thing you can't say he's done is being an absolute winner. Now, hold on. Sometimes I like to hijack the show myself because I always have social media up when we're rocking and rolling because the hot topics usually flow through. Particularly on draft time, you're getting rumors. Dove Kleiman, you've probably seen him on X, right? Similar to what Ari Mirov does, Adam Schefter, like a guy that gets information and puts it out, maybe tied in a little bit to the NFL. Here's breaking news. It says the Guardian caps have been authorized for in-game use next season. Stop. That can't. I just got to respond to this. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, the Guardian caps, you've seen them. A lot of NFL teams wear these in practice to limit the helmet-to-helmet contact. And if there is helmet-to-helmet contact, that, you know, it's an extra buffer zone. Because technically in practice, you're not supposed to be hitting. But there is what we call friendly fire at times, where it's like, hey, we ran into each other and I gave you a concussion by accident. The design of that is to protect against it. But it looks like you have like a flak jacket on your head that looks like a big sponge. And it says it's approved for use that. So like helmets have like the logos and they're sleek. I don't understand how this is going to work. And I don't, it can't be authorized for in-game use next season. Like, you can't have four or five guys wear that and not anybody else. Like, hear me out on that. I don't understand, but that just flashed across my screen right now that the Guardian caps in the NFL for in-game use have been approved next season. I don't know how that works, but it will, I don't know. It would look ridiculous out there, to be honest. I don't know which players would actually do it. One or two offensive line. I don't know. But I don't know how that can be approved for use in game. I don't see it. I don't know. But we'll get some more information hopefully back, and people will respond to that tweet here from Dove Kleiman, and maybe even Adam Schefter will let a tweet rip on that so we can actually check it out and see what's what there. But the rest of the draft went pretty much as is, right? Bo Nix, by the way, six quarterbacks went in the top 12 picks. Six quarterbacks in the top 12. We told you yesterday. Ben and I were breaking it down. It's no surprise. Like, I don't know. You heard that? Yes, a lot of people had that. The over 4.5 quarterbacks, shoo-in. You knew that right away. The only question was going to be like if Bo Nix would linger around and not get there. Or Michael Penix was probably even more of the wild card. And he goes number 8 inside the top 10. So a lot of crazy doings yesterday. But a fun first round, I should say. Second round begins once again tonight. Sports Grid Network's got you covered. The boys will be live in studio again, breaking down rounds number 2 and rounds number 3. Could we get that intrigue? Could we get the intrigue? Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, maybe on the trade block. Doubt both of them leave. But Ricky Pearsall gets drafted round number 1 to the San Francisco 49ers. That's an ominous sign to what's going to happen today. Who makes those moves for dominant weapons at wide receiver? And will the San Francisco 49ers let those said players go? All right, the draft. We're down with that. The NBA, let's recap what happened last night. A 50 spot from your boy Joel Embiid, who probably should have got tossed in the first quarter if the refs were actually paying any sort of attention. But that's not the case in that series. Refs aren't paying attention, but we are, and we'll be back in just a matter of a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Afternoon action right here on the Sports Grid Network. The best hour of your day. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside today. Having some fun. Solo mission today. Hit the NFL draft. More fun stuff tonight. Aren't you guys ready for the NFL already? I mean, I know it probably feels like the Super Bowl was just a few weeks ago. I mean, technically, I guess it was. It was in February. It's only April right now. But we are at the draft. Once that gets over, you have this sort of quiet period, right? You float around in May and June. You're worried about baseball. You're watching NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like to me, the month of July is football season. Because that's when training camps begin for everybody. And that's when you're geeked up, you're ready to go, you're feeling good, and boy, you can just taste it at this point, right? That's the feeling of it. But love the NFL. Put that to bed just a few moments ago. Yes, we ripped Atlanta, and away you go, and guys are going to make good picks, but it's hard to grade drafts until a couple years down the line when you see how these players actually turned out. Now let's talk about the NBA and what happened last night, because we had some epic performances. Let's start out on the West Coast. Nuggets 112, Lakers 105. Lakers, once again, had a double-digit lead against the Nuggets. The Lakers once again couldn't hold that double-digit lead against the Lakers and got beat 112 to 105. And not for a lack of effort by the superstars for the Los Angeles Lakers. Anthony Davis, 43 minutes, 14 of 23 from the field, 33 points, 15 rebounds, and 3 assists wasn't good enough. LeBron James, 42 minutes, 12 of 20 from the floor, 26 points, 9 assists, and 6 rebounds. That wasn't good enough. Heck, even Austin Reeves, 41 minutes, 8 of 17 from the floor, 22 points. Why? Because guys like D'Angelo Russell played 24 minutes, went 0 for 7 from the floor, and didn't score a single point. And the Los Angeles Lakers didn't get any help from their bench. Taurean Prince, 7 points. Spencer Dinwiddie, 8 points. Gabe Vincent, 4 points. Stop it, man. Just stop. Look at that Denver Nuggets starting lineup and how everybody helps each other out. KCP, formerly of the Los Angeles Lakers, he had played 35 minutes, didn't do all that much, but still finished with a plus 2, scored 5 points. Look at the other 4 starters in that lineup. 29 points for Aaron Gordon, 12 of 18 from the floor. Michael Porter Jr., 8 of 16 from the floor, 20 points. Nikola Jokic, 24 points, 15 rebounds, and 9 assists from 9 of 13 from the floor. Then Jamal Murray still scored 22 points, wasn't very efficient from 8 for 21 from the field, but he still was a plus 7 in that game. The Denver Nuggets just have the Lakers' number. It's just the way it is. And I remember coming into this game, you guys have heard me on multiple shows state, there's no handicap here. There's no we need this game in game number 3. None of that. None of that at all. All you have to know is the Los Angeles Lakers cannot beat the Denver Nuggets under any circumstances. This isn't a case where Denver is so much better where they just get out to a 10-point lead and coast the rest of the way. No, Denver comes back from double-digit leads every single time against the Lakers. 3 games here in the playoffs, 3 games in the regular season, 4 game sweep to end the season last year. You're going to go back-to-back sweeps? And it's not even a fact like, hey, Lakers have some pride. Like, they're not getting blown out. They're not playing bad basketball. They're just not. They're just not as good as the Denver Nuggets at this point. And you hear LeBron James in post-game press conferences. Sounds like he's just been humbled by the Nuggets. Like, hey, man, it's just basketball at this point. Yeah, we can't beat them. Yeah, we can't do anything. Just a tough scene all the way around when you're trying to get at it. But again, they covered. And you take a look now in game number 4, which is going to be in Los Angeles. And the Los Angeles Lakers are a favorite. The Los Angeles Lakers are a decided underdog, I should say, in that game. Nobody believes that the Denver Nuggets are not going to sweep them. Nobody. Favored by 3.5 points at some outlets, the Denver Nuggets, on the road. 217 total. And LeBron James is going to get swept back-to-back years from the Denver Nuggets. It's insane when you think about that. It really is. And it's not even like, hey, man, LeBron's old. He just can't keep up anymore. He only plays like 10, 15 minutes a night. He's more of a figurehead, and you know the fans love him, so they'll keep him around. That's not the case. He's playing great basketball. As good as he's been in the past 5 to 7 years, he's playing that right now. And nothing matters. The Denver Nuggets are just an unbelievable team that has run through the offense, I should say, by Nikola Jokic. Pedestrian night for Nikola Jokic last night. 24, 15, and 9. The man just keeps killing the Los Angeles Lakers. We're going to talk Sixers, Knicks next. Handicap the rest of the games tonight, which is a triple header, people. And you'll never guess what time that first game is going to start tonight. I don't want to tease you, but I'm going to. And oh boy, do I like it. It's Donnie Wright's out on a Friday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey now, big sports weekend here, people. The Sports Grid Network, certainly the place to be. And right here in the afternoon on Moneyline, absolutely, pal. Sixers, Knicks last night, 125-114 final. Joel Embiid goes for 50 yesterday in a victory over the Knicks to get them back into the series. Jalen Brunson, you knew he was going to come around sooner than later. 39 points, 13 assists, and it wasn't good enough because Joel Embiid was crazy hot in that third quarter, dropping three-pointer after three-pointer after three-pointer. Now, questions came up early in this game. Joel Embiid had a couple questionable fouls, to say the least, and quite frankly could have been double, or I don't say double ejection, but a double flagrant foul for two different flagrant fouls with cause for ejection. He would have left in the first quarter. The Sixers got smoked in that game. But he doesn't get tossed. He does stay in the game. And had 3 fouls in the first half. Didn't get any more fouls in the second half. And dropped 50 points, which included 13 of 19 from the field and 19 of 21 from the free throw line. He was absolutely insane. Incredible in that game. The Philadelphia 76ers from the three-point line, 15 of 31, which is 48% as a team. And then made 28 free throws to 13 from the New York Knicks. The Sixers know how to get to the free throw line, which includes Joel Embiid. He is the master of getting to the line. He is James Harden as a center reincarnated like 10 years ago. Automatic touch foul, go to the line. That's what he does. He draws fouls. But this is also a series that has been kind of odd, right? You look at the Philadelphia 76ers through games one and games two. You've gotten great performances, or at least over, above average, let's call it, to be kind. From Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. They lost both of those games. Jalen Brunson, who's an unbelievable player, was so inefficient in the first two games, and they won. He was much more efficient, almost went 50% from the floor, shooting 13 of 27 from the field, which included 3 of 7 from the three-point line, which is very good. Free throws 10 of 12, certainly solid, and chipped in with 13 assists in that game. He was tremendous, and they lost. OG Anunoby, 7 of 11, 17 points, tried to help the best he could. Like, the New York Knicks shot close to 50% on the road as a team and lost that game. Those are the tough ones to swallow. Now, also, the bigger point in this game to me is the refs have to find a way to get common ground in this series. Because the one thing that happened in game number two was the Sixers got hosed down the stretch on multiple calls from the referees. And it almost feels like game three, you were setting the tempo for what was going to take place. The Philadelphia 76ers and Joel Embiid knew that the refs probably were going to give them the benefit of that in game number three. That's just human analysis at this point. When you blow calls down the stretch, which cost the team a playoff game to go down 0-2, you might get that little bit of leniency that you like. Now, Joel Embiid was pulling people down, kicking people between the legs, elbowing them in the ribs. That was all basically felt like in the first quarter alone. But they let him play through that. Sure, they called some fouls on him there, but they didn't eject him. And therefore, the Sixers were able to pick up a double-digit win at home. That's close to five-point favorites, depending on where you're shopping at, yesterday. Next game up here for the Sixers and the Knicks is Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. It will be interesting to see, to say the least, how the referees approach this game. Was it okay? We let the New York Knicks get away with mayhem in game number two. We let Joel Embiid get away with mayhem in game number three. And away you go. We'll call it down the middle for game number four. Maybe it happens at that point here. But you can certainly blame the referees for letting things get away and having a team like the Philadelphia 76ers, Joel Embiid, feel like they can take as many pot shots as they can. And they did. And it helped them. They won the basketball game. They were out there injuring people. My Sixers, man. Kyle Lowry. Saw Dante DiVincenzo head to the rim, whack, right on the side of the head, open up a little cup by the eye. Dante DiVincenzo is a three-point maven. He didn't make one last night. Go figure, right? Nobody likes to get smacked in the eye heading to the rim, which causes a stinging cut next to your eye and expects you to go out and drop three-point shot after three-point shot after three-point shot. You get it? Yeah, that's what happened. Sixers back in the series. I like it. I'm a fan. We'll watch Sunday. It'll be exciting. There'll be a lot of Knicks fans in the house, a lot of Sixers fans, obviously, and away they go. The game that yesterday didn't matter all that much was the Magic, 121-83 over the Cavaliers. I have the Cavaliers winning that series. They're still up 2-1, but that's a disappointing performance by the Cavs. And finally, the Magic, along with the Philadelphia 76ers, unlike the Los Angeles Lakers, had the kitchen sink game where you gotta win game three on your home court down 0-2. There is no tomorrow for 99.9% of the teams once they go down 0-3. That's a wrap. Your season is over. Nice to know you here. Good performance by the Magic, who are very good at home this year in a 121-83 victory over the Cavaliers. Absolutely smashed them. Killed them. Now, let's flip it over to today. And if you were listening before the break, as Kevin was.
Yeah, tremendous.
We love this. I love this. When I tell you out there, people, that I want to be the commissioner of sports, not the commissioner of baseball, the NBA, the NHL, or the NFL. I need to be the commissioner of sports. because these are the type of decisions that you're going to get on a daily basis. There is a triple header tonight in the NBA. Triple header. Bucks Pacers, Clippers Mavericks, Timberwolves Suns. It is a Friday. And yes, I know, this isn't 1940 where everybody works Monday through Friday and gets the weekend off. I get it. Tons of people working Saturday, tons of people working Sunday. But for the general population, most people have their days off on the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. There is a game tonight in the NBA, at 8 o'clock. Okay, it's Friday night. Makes some sense. There's a game tonight for the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Phoenix Suns. That's at 10:30. That's the final game of the triple header tonight. Oh, fine. Local time there, early, weekend game. You should be able to stay up and watch it if you want to. But how about this starting game? How about the first game of the night? We were in studio this morning, and I wasn't paying that much attention here, going over these three games, because you just figured it's a triple header, 7 o'clock, 7:30, 10 o'clock, whatever it might be, or within a half hour of each other, right? Tip time tonight in Indiana, it's 5:30 p.m. Eastern. Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so good. Every single person, man, women, and children, can tune into that basketball game and enjoy it. What a concept. What a concept. The Bucks and the Pacers, with the highest total today at 223, which means we're expecting points, we're expecting flow. It's a series that's tied. The Pacers got back into it in game number two, showed some might out there, opened up their offense. Pascal Siakam's been wonderful for that team. Halliburton, double-digit assist last game, was a catalyst. And now you're going to put that bad boy on at 5:30. We all win. Everybody wins. Everybody that's listening to my voice right now, congratulations. You are a winner. You will be up. I go to bed early. I don't go to bed at 5:30 early. I don't eat dinner because you guys know I only eat one time a day. And today, by the way, was a cheesesteak, some tater tots, and a Dole Whip out of the creamy. Yeah, there you go. That's what I had today at lunch. I'm done for the day. But you can come home and sit down and eat your dinner and watch the Bucks and the Pacers. What a novel concept. Everybody can watch it. Ratings will be fantastic for that basketball game. All the way through. We're not talking about, oh, it peaked at this time because everybody went to bed at 10 o'clock. No! Friday night, 5:30 game? What a win! What a win for the people. And by the way, line's heading up, man, on the Indiana Pacers. Giannis Antetokounmpo is not playing in this game. It's going to be all up to Damian Lillard here, once again, for the Milwaukee Bucks. I haven't put any bets together, because I'm probably going to go over to Bet365 a little bit later. Use one of the 30% odds boosts and try to get down on a three-point player prop. I do enjoy those. And by the way, yesterday on the show, I want to say I was in love with a Bet365 odds boost bet. I actually didn't take it. You guys know I'm always truthful. If I take it, I tell you. If I bet it, if I lose, you guys always know. I loved that bet yesterday. It was Brunson to get 25 points, crushed it. Joel Embiid to get a double-double. He didn't get that. Joel Embiid scored 50 points yesterday. Only 8 rebounds. That plus 200 actually lost. That's criminal, people. Just the way it is sometimes. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. We'll be right back to talk more NBA action next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hot night tonight in the NBA. Next segment, we're going to take a look a little bit at Major League Baseball and where that winds up. Maybe we'll do a little bit in this segment as well. Some decent RBI opportunities, by the way, for some superstars on the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But Adam Schefter firing a tweet out today. Something like, I like to get angry. And if you don't get angry, like Twitter's job in your life, or X as it's now called, is to get you upset. That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to get your blood boiling here. It's supposed to keep you young. I'm 46 years old right now. X keeps me young right now. It does. Because you can argue back and forth. You can have some good-spirited stuff. And by the way, Twitter was way more toxic about 10 years ago than what it is now. So I sort of appreciate that as well, even though technically X is ruined in a lot of ways because the hierarchy of the check marks kept everything in order. Not because you're getting great information, but you tweet, get tweets like, let's just say, Adam Schefter, who tweets something out, which I'll get to in a second. You just like to read the concepts, or excuse me, the tweets below what was said, because they were legitimate, verified check marks, and usually had something somewhat competent to say. Now it's a lot of bots, and you know what I'm talking about below that. Usually it's just nonsense, ridiculousness below any of the tweets. But you can still read the tweet and just see what happens. So Adam Schefter tweets out, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is mulling a future with 18 regular season games, a President's Day weekend Super Bowl, and a significant increase to international games. So let me start here by saying, you want to go to 18 games? I like it. I don't have any issues with that. Cut out another preseason game, and that's fine. We don't need preseason games anymore. And coaches will tell you they're absolutely useless, because you get most of your work done in those joint scrimmages, and you have those practices where you can control what the setups are, as opposed to just playing a random game all the way through. Now, a President's Day weekend Super Bowl, that should be needed. Now, granted, me in my business, I'm going to work any day the Super Bowl is, so no matter what day they change it to, I don't have a day off the following day. So it doesn't affect me, but I'm sure the people out there would understand. If you have a job where you get President's Day off, that's awesome, because you can relax and enjoy the Super Bowl and not have to be like, hey, you know what? The party's over at 10:30 and I'm exhausted and now I got to go to work the next day. I love that idea. Now, here's the dumbest idea you're ever going to hear. He ends this tweet, Adam Schefter, with saying, a significant increase in international games. What are we doing? What are we doing? If you want Roger Goodell, go bananas. And I'm sure the overseas market would love it anyway. Have every single NFL team just play an international game in the preseason. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Let's just say you do cut the preseason down to two games as opposed to three. Have the Philadelphia Eagles, the Buffalo Bills, play a game in London, stay overseas, play a game in Germany, then come home a week ready for the NFL regular season. Why not do that? Overseas would appreciate those football games. You're not wasting games overseas. You're not hurting your players by saying you have to travel and play in situations where you know it's always bad. Just about every field they play on overseas is horrendous. Slip, slide, like an ice skating rink. Why can't we just do that? Just play the preseason games. So if you have 32 teams, let's just say 16 teams, you could have 32 games in the preseason out of market. Go ahead and do it. Play them in Canada. Play them in Mexico. Play them in Barbados. Who cares? Germany. Poland. Wherever you want to go play them. Stop the madness. We don't need more international games. It's absolutely absurd at this point. All right, back to the NBA tonight. Triple header. Bucks Pacers, 6.5-point number. Game's at 5:30 p.m. tonight. 223. I like the over in that game, I do. I think the Pacers woke up in game number two, and that pace should be on point. But one of the guys certainly to factor in again would be in your three-point prop parlays, it's Dame Dash, man. With Giannis Antetokounmpo out, he just has the green light to do whatever he wants. And he's actually had a good early series so far. And I think that does continue into game number three. I don't really know if I want to take the Pacers, though, at a -6.5 price. I don't know if that's with it. I don't know if I'm with that. Moving it over to the Clippers and the Mavericks game tonight, too. -4.5-point spread for the Dallas Mavericks at home against the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard returned in game number two, but still the Dallas Mavericks won that basketball game. A total listed at 213 and a line, as we said, close to 5 points. Am I in love with the Dallas Mavericks at -4.5? Not necessarily, but I did pick the Dallas Mavericks to win that series, and I do think the Dallas Mavericks are the better basketball team, but I do think you get a better version of Kawhi Leonard tonight. The old Mavericks, and what I mean by that is like last year's edition and the year before, they would lose this basketball game to the Clippers. You want to hope something is different. You want to see Luka Doncic bombing away from three-point land. You want to see Kyrie Irving having a great basketball game. You want to see those two combine for 70-plus points tonight and leading their team to victory to take that 2-1 commanding series lead. Betting-wise, I'm not really feeling that game. 213 probably should go over. Not in love with it. Mavericks, who I do think win that game, but I don't really know if I'm laying the 4.5 there. Minnesota Timberwolves, Phoenix Suns tonight. Identical line again. 4.5 as a favorite towards the Phoenix Suns at home. Looking at market percentages from multiple sports books, 80% of the tickets coming in on the Phoenix Suns tonight. Total listed at 208. And as we said, about a 4.5 to 5 point favorite, depending where you're shopping at. For me, I do think the Timberwolves have a legitimate chance to win this game outright. So I'll take those 4.5 to 5 points, depending on where you're shopping at tonight. But it's a really good triple header, no doubt about it. Bucks Pacers tied at 1-1. Clippers Mavericks 1-1. Phoenix Suns kitchen sink game tonight to try to get back into that series. And then the NBA, it's fantastic, man. We are looking at, once again, last Saturday and Sunday, guys, remember? Kicking off the, you know, postseason. Quadruple headers on both days. We're doing it again this time around. Cavs Magic, Thunder Pelicans, Celtics Heat, Nuggets Lakers Saturday. Knicks Sixers, Clippers Mavericks, Bucks Pacers, Minnesota Timberwolves, Phoenix Suns on Sunday. 1-3-36 and 8:30 on Saturday. 1-3-37 and 9:30 on Sunday. A great weekend of sports here for the NBA. Now, in the next segment, we're going to take a quick snapshot look here at Major League Baseball. I'm going to go over that Dodgers game tonight and tell you which guys I like for props. And also, a couple other sneaky ones with superstars. Plus money, people, is the name of the game in the RBI race. And we're going to do that tonight. Looks like a decent card setting up here. And let's go over a few games once we get back from the break. It's a Friday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Donnie Wrightside, and this is Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's talk some bets, people, in the final segment here. Odds boost out here in the market. You know I love a good odds boost here. Don't like this one, technically, from the FanDuel Sportsbook. Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving each to score in the first 3 minutes of the game tonight. That's a plus 120 boosted up to a 2-to-1 price. I mean, should it hit? Maybe. Is it a good price? Yes. I don't know if I like that, but I'll tell you one I absolutely love here. Bet 365 today. A minus 140 price boosted to plus 140. Clippers and Mavericks. Paul George, 20 or more points tonight. And Luka Doncic, 20 or more points tonight. Love that. We'll be betting that. That will be in the door here shortly. That's great. I'll cheer that one on. Let's get to some Major League Baseball handicapping today, people. Let's focus on Los Angeles and Toronto. That's a 7:07 start from the 6 tonight up in Toronto. Chris Bassett's on the mound. Last year, 401 batters, guys, he faced from the left-hand side. He's a right-handed pitcher. 240 ISO, 363 weighted on base percentage. That's really bad on both sides. Flip it over to this year. Right-handed pitcher, once again, Chris Bassett. On the mound against left-handed batters, he's faced 56 of those this year. K rate is only 12.5%. That's really bad. But how about this? Walk rate, 17.9%. That's really bad. ISO power number, 217. That's elevated. Weighted on base percentage, atrocious at 465. So I'm telling you right now, Bassett cannot get left-handed batters out. So you swing it over to the lineup here tonight. Who might be left-handed batters on your list? Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, and Max Muncy. The goal is, if you pick three of those guys, to get at least two of those to cash in. But I do think those three guys are legitimate. The best two of the bunch, if you said, Donnie, I don't want to go three tonight, even though I do like Freddie Freeman a lot. Shohei Ohtani is at 70 at-bats against right-handed pitching this year, a 475 ISO power number, and a weighted on-base percentage of 581. Tremendous. Max Muncy in the five-hole tonight, 64 times he's faced right-handed pitching this year, 231 ISO, 358 weighted on-base percentage. Awesome. And again, right on their coattails. Freddie Freeman, left-handed batter to bat third tonight, a 167 ISO power number and a 430 weighted on-base percentage going up against right-handed pitching. Those are the three guys that I certainly have an eye on in that situation. If you want to go star hunting a little bit later tonight and you want to take a look at the Los Angeles Angels, Bailey Ober's on the mound for the Minnesota Twins. He's a right-handed pitcher. Going up against right-handed batters this year, he's faced 36 of those. 257 ISO, weighted on base percentage at 364. Last year, ISO power number against right-handed batters, a 230. Do you know maybe the best right-handed batter right now in Major League Baseball leading off? That's Mike Trout. 402 ISO, 414 weighted on base percentage through 96 at-bats against right-handed pitching. That's one to take a look at as well. He's plus money also. So there are some options tonight. I haven't had the chance because obviously I've been on the road and doing shows most of the day. But I'm going to dip into tonight and see if I can find some fun here and get some ROI back on round robins in the RBI market. truth be told, yesterday, actually lost a little bit of money on a 10-player round robin because my final two players were from the New York Yankees, Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. If I got one of those guys, that's a nice profitable night. Two of those, a really good profitable night. I got none of those guys. Could you want to know why? The first inning, Volpe got on base and a double by Soto down the line. But as everybody knows, there's nobody out. Don't send them home. Keep them at third, which was okay by me because Aaron Judge was coming up next and he walked. And by the way, the Yankees didn't even score any runs in that first inning. So congratulations, third base coach, on holding Volpe at third base when he could have sent him and he would have scored easily on that Soto double. It happens. It's the way it is. Tonight, on the hunt for some more good action, but also, it is a great night. Rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft. You got to love that. Sports Grid Network's got you covered. The boys are in studio going over pick-by-pick analysis and letting you know where you can find some of those edges tonight. A triple header in the NBA, which is going to start in what? 2.5 hours? That's tremendous, man. Sit back and watch the Bucks and the Pacers. Now, also today, we had Casey on this morning talking about some ice hockey on the Sports Grid Network today. Had a little technical difficulties, but got some information late in the show from Casey. I got a 50% odds boost to use on Bet365 for a same-game parlay. I think I might be hockey guy tonight. You know me. When I strike in hockey, we win. I'm the true hockey guy. I'm going to see if I can put something together tonight. Haven't decided on which game to go with, but there's 4 games tonight in the NHL. We'll be able to hammer down and have some fun. But the key is, I hope you guys had fun over this past hour. A lot of hot topics to go over, huge sports stories. The rest of your Sports Grid day is still going to be here, and also the weekend is going to be popping as well. I'm ready to enjoy it, people. For Danny, behind the scenes, on the Wheels of Steel, and Nani Wrightside right here in front of the mic. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back for another edition on Monday of Moneyline. See ya.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.